Okay, boys, and today's daf is daf Yud Ches K'minyan Chai. Live with the Torah. And we're holding on the second line of the Amud with the Gemara asks Meisvei, the Gemara asks Akasha. What's the Gemara's Kasha? He said yesterday at the tail end of yesterday's daf that there's Sholish Pigimois Hain. There are three halachis that pertain to Kodshim involving Pigimois. We've been talking over the last few days about Pigimois in a Sakin, which applies even to Chulin, even today. However, in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, they had other halachas of Pigima. One was Pigimas Etzim the Pesach. When it comes Korban Pesach, make sure Chol Etzim Leisish Bruvoi, even a small Pigima. You have Pigimas Oizen the Bechor. If you had a Bechor, you weren't able to go and shecht it outside the Beis Hamikdash unless it had a mum. And the mum that we're referring to is the Pigimas Oizen the Bechor. Also, very small Pigima, as Yimor will say momentarily. And Pigimas Mum Bekodshim. Not only Bechor, but all Kodshim. If there's a Pigima of a Mum, you won't be able to go and bring it for a carbon. And then Rav Chisda added Pigima Sakin. Why didn't the Tanakama talk about Pigima Sakin? Not the Tanakama. Why didn't Reish Lakish talk about Pigima Sakin? Because he was talking about Kodshim. Zokti Mora Bekulon, how much are we talking about in this Pigima? It's Kedei Pigimas HaMizbeach. The same amount as when the Mizbeach is damaged. It has Pigam. Top line, how much is Pigimas HaMizbeach? Kedei Shetachkar Ba Tzipoirin. Tachkar Ba Tzipoirin means that you take your fingernail and you run it across the Mizbeach and it stops at a certain point. Oh, so you know that there's a Pigam. Because if it was totally smooth, you'd be able to go and take your fingernail and go the entire length and breadth of the Mizbeach. So you see that the Pigima that we're talking about is very, very small, like a notch on a knife, a serrated knife. Freitimor Meisvei. In the Brayis it says otherwise. Kama Pigima Samizbeach. Not Tachker Botzi Poirin, but Reb Shimon Yechoi Oimer a Tefach. Reb Lezman Yaakov Oimer a Kezayis. Both of these, of course, are much larger shiurim than the shiur of a tzipoyin. What's going on? So tomorrow, there's really no kasha, like kasha habesido habeavna. When they constructed the mizbeach, they took avonim, large stones, but the stones don't all magically attach each other to each other. You have to go and put in them some lime, some cement, to hold them in place. When it comes to the avonim, that was the shiur that we had yesterday, kidei shetachker bo. Make sure that they're so smooth that if you were to go and take your nail and to go and rub it against the stones, you would not get stuck in a small little notch here or there, because you're totally, says Rashi, avonim shleimos tivne es mizbach Hashem lekech. When you're building the mizbech of Hashem, it's got to be avonim shleimos, not even the slightest imperfection. Rashi brings the first two words at the top line. And in many of the Gemara's, the Torah Ora Sholem brings the old Pasuk, Avonim Shleim is Tivna. However, that's talking about the Avonim. In terms of the lime, the cement that you put in between, there might be slight imperfections here or there. And as long as it's less than a Tefach or less than a Kezayis, then it's kosher. Talk more about Amar Avuna. Haytavcha deloysor sakina kami chocham misham tinanle. A tabach, a shoychet, who does not show his sakin to a chocham, shamtinale, we put him in chayrim. As you remember, we said yesterday, it was the custom, and in fact, midrabanan, it was a requirement that every shoychet had to show his sakin to the chocham. The Gemara said it was ne kvoidoy shel chocham, but you had to go and show it.
Not every day.
When you got it, excuse me. When you got either brand new Rav, a brand new Shoichet, or brand new Sakin. Once the Rav had looked at the Sakin and says, it's great, you don't have to show him every day. So the Tafkut Dali Sakinakami Chocham, if he got a new Sakin, he didn't show it to the Chocham, Mishamtinale, we put him in Chayrim, because he's not showing, not because we're worried about Kashrus, but because he's not showing proper respect to the Chocham. And says Rashi, we have a Gemara Masechtas Brochos. Mishamtinale mishum afkirusa. Afkirusa means he's almost like an apikoidus. Shehechtif ponav. He's brazen in front of this Rav. This is the Rav of the Shtot. of the town, of the village, and he goes and gets a new zakah without showing it. That's a chutzpah. It's a chutzpah that we put him in chayim. Rav Oman Abrinan Lay. It's more than that. We go and take him away from his job, from his position. Umachrizan Abisrei Detreifehi. We're going to make a achroz, a proclamation that his basar is unreliable. It's like traits. Azei Zokti Gemara. So now it would appear that there's a machloikis. That Rav Huna says, Mishamtina Lay, we put him in chayim. Rav says, we take him away from his position and everything is traits. There's no machlekes. Kan bisha nimtis sakina yafa. Kan bisha loy nimtis sakina yafa. What happens? Itaka didn't show it to the chacham emes, and he shechted with it. And then we took a look at the sakin. We said the maisa, even though he didn't show it, it's a beautiful sakin. The blade and it's so sharp. There's not one niche, one notch on the top and the bottom of the sides. It's givaldik. He did a great job. Okay, so Timara, and when you find Sakina Yafa, then yes, Mishamtina Lay. We put him in Chayim, he should have showed it to the roof. However, Shalayim is a Sakina Yafa. If after the Shechita we see that the Sakin is Takin, not good, ooh, yay, 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 yay. What do we do? Then we're Macher Zalei that all of his Basar is Trefa because he's not a reliable Shaykhin. And Mabina Lay, and we take him away from his position.
Wasn't there a famous story with the Rav and a Shochet or something? There's a story.
Rav and a Shochet?
I forgot, maybe in some other Masachas or something, that the Shochet didn't show deference to Rav, and I forgot, I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry, I don't remember the story either. But I'm sure it was very memorable, and when we get to it next time, we will review it and we'll say, this is Ariel's famous story.
According to Rabbuna, that's to me the worst. That's
putting someone in Shamta, it's stuck a terrible thing to be put in Chayr. But Lamaisa, he still can go and sell his boss. It could be that a lot of people are going to refrain from buying because they heard that he was excommunicated. But if someone already bought meat, or for that matter, if you want to sell meat to Goyim, then he can continue selling, and we don't run him out of town.
So it seems to say we don't put him in
general. You do not, but that's right. According to Rav Huna,
that's the worst punishment.
What can I tell you? That's how Rashi learned Pshat. If you want to take a look at the Rashi, Nimta Sakina Yofa, the third line, Mishamtinai, because of the chutzpah involved. And then, but if you find that the Sakin is not Yofa, then it's much worse, because that means he's been shechting, and who knows how many trefas he's already, or how many nevelas he has produced as a result of his not shechting with a kosher knife. Ein Sakina Yofa. This was Rava. Ravina Omar, Heichad loy nimtze Sakina Yofa, mimas mislei departa, dafilo evikachovim, nami loy mizdabit. Ravina takes a much harder line, and he says that if it's not nimtze Sakina Yofa, Mamas Mislay means we smear on the meat that he produced, that he shechted, the parto, parosa. Parosa means with perish, with excrement.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? That even a goy is not going to go and buy it. He's going to smell it. And he says, get out of here. I can't even get close to this meat. So we really go and penalize the fellow. Not only can't he go and sell it as kosher meat, nobody will want to even buy it as non-kosher meat. So that's the case of loy nimtze sakina yofa. What happens if nimtze sakina yofa? The Gemara doesn't address it. However, Rashi does. Look at Rashi. The filo v'chovim le'mizdabin. Neich the nimtze sakina yofa. Machazinan alei the treifahi mishom k'nosa. However, v'chovim yeshav kina lei lezvuna. So therefore, Ravina is arguing with Rava on both cases. Meaning, it's not really Rava, it's Rava and Rafuna together. But he's arguing both in the case of Sakina Yofa and Shaloi Nimtze Sakina Yofa. Well, we concluded by Sakina Yofa until we got to Ravina, just put him in Shamta, we put him in Chayim. Or we allow him to conduct business as usual, because Lamaisa, he has a good Sakin and Sakina Yofa. Majein Ken, if ain't Sakina Yofa, then Mavrin Alei, we take away from his position, and we say that his Basar is Treif. According to Ravina, in a case where the Sakino is Yofa, Macherzina laid a tray for he. It's not like we said before. that if Sakina Yofa, we just put him in Chayram, but he can go and sell his meat to meat the mice is kosher, because Sakina Yofa.
If he's in Chayram, he can't sell meat. He's excommunicated from doing any business with him.
Yes.
His wife,
those people that are not worried about going Shanta. Into the Shanta, or people that are bought from before, do they have to go and throw it in the garbage, or can they use it? So, in this case, where Philip, by according to Ravina, if it's a kina yofa, machrizin it's straight for it's a knath. Even though really it's kosher, because it's a kina yofa, how it's knath. So we see your machmir by the kina yofa, and by the ain't a kina yofa, your machmir even more that you smear it with excrement that even a goy will not buy. So now the Gemara tells us a story from Tafka to Lechsor, Sakina, Kami, the rubber pack, Chinina. There was a Tabach, a shoychev that did not go and show his sack into Rav Bar Chanina. Shamte, he put him in Chayram, the Avre, and he was Mavre, took him away from his position. The Achriz, and he announced Abisre the Trefi. In other words, he didn't show, it doesn't say whether Sakina Yofa or not Sakina Yofa. Apparently, he holds that even in the case of Sakina Yofa, Mavrinan Le, were Mavirim, just like Ravina said a moment ago. Now, this Shoichit, although unfortunately what he did was wrong, he didn't go and show his sakin to the roof, but nevertheless, we found that Sakina Yofa, he did do the mice a good job. And now Rav Bar Chinina started having regrets about what he did, because he was denying this Shoichit sufficient parnasa. Says the Imor, Iklo Marzuta V'Ravashi Degabei, Marzuta Ravashi came to visit by Rav Bar Chinina. Amalahu, and he said to them, Li'ainu, not Rabba, Li'ainu Rabbanan ben Mitzay, I want to ask you, you two Rabbanan Marzuta Ravashi, please do a little bit more research into this Shoichet and what he did. The Tolu Beit Tafli, because he has young kindlech. Tafli is from Russian Taf, and they need Parnosa. Who's going to go and support them if we're going to put a Shamta? And we're going to say, when Maver, we're going to take him away from his position, he won't have Parnosa. Bodka Rav Ashi's kinais, Rav Ashi Taka got hold of the sakin of that tabach, the nimtis yofa, and he found, it was Taka, very, very good sakin. Vashere, and he was machshirim, says, okay, I'm reinstating you back to your position. That's what Rav Ashi did. Marzutra was surprised. Homele Marzutra, Lelechish, Marle Saba, don't you remember Rav Bar Chinina was mavir, he took him away from his position, and you're sending him back to the position. Aren't you worried about that Rav Bar Chinina will have a kpeda against you? Amalei said, "Pukfaked shlichusik avdinim. I'm doing his shlichus." Remember, he told us. He said, "La'ainu rabbanim ben milzei the tolu beit afli." I want you to go and look into this because I'm worried about he doesn't have parnasa and never his children, his family are suffering. So I did that. I checked out Sakina Yofa, and therefore I'm going to go like the more heter that we had before, that we said according to the first teres, Rav Huna and Rava, there's no machlokes, and as long as Sakina Yofa, it's only Mishamtina Lei, but not Maviran Lei, so therefore, I'm now going to be Mekel, I'm going to send him back to his position, and allow him to continue to be a Shoichet after, what? Is that the story that you had in mind?
No. That was with Rav, and right. A Shoichet in Tractate Kedushin. For tomorrow, I'll try to...
If you can, though, that would be very, very, very welcome, we'd love to hear.
Okay,
so now before we continue on, we've just heard now about the importance of showing to the Rav the Sakin. So we have the benefit, our own Taira Remendel Falak in the Taira Gaba has shared with me, and I'd like to share with you, a Ksav Kabbalah that was written by his grandfather, Seren Cheruv. The Seren Cheruv was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, in addition to that he also had a major Hashkacha on meats. In fact, Rav Rif Zatzal, who, as you know, was a very, very great goyim and a litvisher, he spoke very, very highly in great esteem of the Seren Cheruv and his kashrus. Rav Rif also had kashrus that he was the Rav Machshir for, and so the Seren Cheruv, and he showed a lot of deference and respect to the Seren Cheruv. Among other things that he said about the Seren Cheruv, Rav Menachem Polak Zatzal, was that he was makbid that all of the Shochtim's wives should have their hair covered, which was, today, it may not sound like such a novel thing, but at that time that was a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment, because many of the Shochtim, unfortunately, their wives did not go with the haircut.
Where was this?
This we're talking about here in New York.
Oh, he said.
Yeah.
Who was the other rabbi?
The Rav Riff was. Rav Riff was the Shver of the late Rabbi Gettinger, and he was the El Tzeda of today's Rabbi Gettinger. Rav Riff was Baki B'chol HaTorah Kula, just like, I don't know, Mamish the same, or Kamat like Rav Chaim Kanievsky. You asked him any Chazal, and he would tell you, does he need Ka Gimori, Agimori Bavli? Does he need Ka Yerushalmi? Does he have Medrish, Medrish Tanchume, Parshish B'chukaisai? He'd open up, you'd find it exactly. Anything that you asked him, he knew on the spot.
Where did the glory shine?
He was originally, of course, from the Haim, from the Litta. He was an Einikol of the Netziv. That's right. In fact, he had the same name as the Netziv. Naftali Tzvi Yehuda, but not Berlin, but Riff. Anyway, so he was the Rav in Camden, New Jersey, for, I believe, 40 years. There's a lot to talk about, but getting back to what we're talking about now, this is a Ksav Kabbalah. Ksav Kabbalah means that anybody that wants to be a shochet had to go to a Ruv to be fehered, and he had to go and show him his sakin to make sure that he knows what he's doing. So this is a Ksav Kabbalah of her, signed by Rav Nachum Segel Polak. It's dated Tufshin Yud Beis, which is 1952. And it says, Nidrashim Vukashoy, I was asked by the following individual, the Yeshua Rabbi Yitzchak Herzberg, who was a musmach of Yeshiva Torah V'Das, the Nasas Oysoy, that he should be examined, the Shchitas Oifois, what he knows how to go in Shecht Oifois, foul. Kinni Makiroi L'Yirei Hashem, I know him, and I know he's an Erlecha, U'misnai Galpi Yisrael, Ruach Yisrael Saba, and if he itzach like an Erlecha Yid, the Gamhera Li, and he also showed me a Ksav, Mishochet Muvhok, Shemeid Sheshochet Lefon of Harbi Oifois, Shchita Yofa, Marbe Lahagin Bishvocha, he said, really does a great job. But Dakti Es Sakinoi, and then I looked at his Sakin. Oh, Umetzosif Chad V'cholok. Chad V'cholok is an expression meaning it's sharp of the sharpness. It's smooth, it's the elite of the elite.
Chad V'cholok.
Chad V'cholok. Shuv Kilkaltiv, and afterwards I was Mekalkal the Sakin. V'chozar V'tiknoi, I gave it to him and he was able to fix it. V'ra'isi Shu Margish Gam B'pkima Daka. I saw that he was able to feel even the smallest little niche and notch. Uboki b'hashchozes sakin, and he is an expert in sharpening sakin. Ke'echad hamumchem, like one of the great experts. The gam tohisi al kankanoi, and I also asked him questions. B'hilchei shchita v'nechakti ladas shuboki b'hen, he really knows his stuff. He's an expert, and the shigurim b'fifth, and therefore hini noisin lekabala urishus lishchayt oifoyt. But tonight, Sheyare Sakinoi Mizman Lizman Lechochem Shevirai. On one condition, that from time to time, he should go and show his sakin to the Chochem of his city, the Yachsa Ali Mudai, and he should continue reviewing his learning, Kimavur Vesvar Makdoishim, etc. Va Hashem Yeh Bi Ezra, Shle Yetzi Chasashon Takolim Itachas Yodoi, Vi Yoch Vandog Mi Yisbo. Signed, Rav Menachem Mendel.
Wow, thank you.
You can be authorized to do just shchita of ofos. This doesn't apply to behemoths.
That's correct.
So there's a it's like yori yori yad yad and yatir yatir type of
exactly. You might only get a heter for certified for purpose of ofos and not for behemoths. Correct.
The doctor says that you continue learning because to be learned is not a great thing after a while.
He spoke about Rav Riff before you entered. You would have had enough. Anyway, this is good and this is fine and this is a lady. By the way, the last few years after Rav Riff Zatzal retired from the Rabbanis in Camden, he came to live half of the time here and half of the time in the Bnei Yisrael. Why did he live here? Because he had Ein Einzige Tochter, that was Rabbi Tzvi Gettinger, and he would stay here very often. He davened here in this Bes Medrash, and he was a really very, very special person.
And he had white socks.
Yeah, having nothing to do with Good. So we're going to continue on. Exactly. So let's continue on, Rabbi.
Chicago.
Shkoyach Mendy for sharing that with us.
Close to Philadelphia. So
let's continue on. So up to halfway down the Omid, Omer Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Shein Talusha Betzipoyin Talusha Mutter Lishchay Ba Lechatchila. If a person has a shein, which is a tooth of an animal, which is nice and sharp and smooth, core, he has the tziporin, he has the claw, the fingernail of an animal tulusha which has been removed from the animal, either because the animal is mishachtim, or maybe they went and cut the nails every Erev Shabbos, the Kodesh Shabbos. But anyway, it's tulusha, assuming that both of these are nice and sharp. You can use them, no difference than all those other sharp things that we said in the Mishnah. You can use a tzur and a kremishol kona, etc. Let's go back to the previous Mishnah that we had in Test Vov Amid Beis, that you're allowed to go bakol shochtin chutz mimagal tzir v'hamegera v'hashinayim v'hatzipoyrin. You're not allowed to use shinayim, the teeth of an animal, or the tzipoyrin, or the fingernails of the animal, because they don't do a good job of shechting smoothly, but chas v'shalom they suffocate the animal. In other words, like an ikur type of situation. Is the chayr stira? Here the Mishnah says shinayim and tziporin, no good. Here it says shinayim and tziporin, are good. Thirdly, what a shein hashein lekash. Ha'bechodo ha'betarti. We're talking about one tooth on its own, or multiple teeth. What does he mean? If you have from the animal the entire jaw, and you have, for instance, two or more teeth connected together on the same jaw, and you're going to use those, by definition, that's going to be equivalent to a sakin that has pegimais, because between one tooth and the other tooth there's always space. A space. The havdil, the same thing applies to human beings. Just into that space. So that's going to be the pegima. That's why the Mishnah says, no good. However, if you're just taking one tooth on its own, and making sure, of course, that it's very, very sharp and very fine and all the rest, and you know, notches and niches, then it's kosher. Prab, of course, is going to be, says Rashi, ein bo roichav, doesn't have a great width, because you're just taking out one tooth. How wide could it be? A half an inch, an inch. Says Rashi, a kaimelon, we hold la locha, hecha dohoilich behevi, a philosakim koshu ksheira. You don't have to have a long sakin that goes from here to New Zealand. You can have a short little sakin. So then how is it going to work? Just keep on going back and forth, back and forth. You'll take this one little shein, as long as it's sharp, it may take 12 times to go back and forth. You just do that. Don't put any pressure, of course, and then it'll be a kosher shein.
If you have a shein, you know it's going to be sharp.
Exactly.
This is a human tooth, animal tooth?
We're talking about animal tooth, correct.
You know, I was in the Museum of Natural History with one of my grandchildren, and I saw the teeth of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. I mean, if you sharpened it, it would make a good challah. It's long and...
Like what other animal? Like a megalodon tooth?
It's surrendered. Their teeth are surrendered.
Right, the great
so
white.
You have to sharpen it, right. As it were.
They're exactly. Smooth now.
Exactly. Tzipoyin is also like Kasha, Habetlusha, Habimuchuberis. It depends on whether the tzipoyin is attached or it's not attached. What the Gemara is telling us is that we learned that Mishnah, Chutzim Mago Kotzim, Amagiriv, Ashinam, but tzipoyin Neshein Choykin, the tzipoyin you really have to take out. It's not because they're choynik. The reason why you can't use a tzipoyin is because it's Muchuber. Muchuber means it's still attached to the Baal Chai, to the living animal. And we already said earlier, a couple of days ago, we had a machloek between Rebbe and Reb Chiya. And Rebbe says, Ein Shoich to the Mechuber, and he learns it from the Pasuk by Avram Avinu, V'yikach HaSamachavetz. And then there's another gear, so a different Pasuk, right, with the Rishash, Shkoyach, like we discussed already yesterday briefly. Thank you, and Rabbi.
That was Shabbos though.
Right, exactly. And Rabbi Newman was the one that told you in Shabbos. Very good. All of that is Gebaldik. So therefore, if...
Yosef
Lando, okay, I'm sorry.
That was Barry's,
okay, good. But yeah. They both said the same thing. Fine, yeah. It's a Khalidi. Anyway, the point of all of this is that as long as it's still attached to the animal, even if the animal is allowing you to go, and it could be that it's going to the animal, animal is already dead. Could be it's geshocht an animal, could be it's an avela, whatever. Anyway, if it's attached to the Baal Chai, no good, because Rebbe said, Ein shochtim in mechuber. So mechuber doesn't only mean mechuber lakarka, even means mechuber to a Baal Chai. However, if it's tallish, if it was removed, you cut the nails, you cut the claws off, and you can go and use it for purposes of shechita. Again, we're not recommending it, we're just saying right. If it's sharp, it's sufficient to go and use it. Right, Zog the Mishnah. Ashoich l'magol k'tir. A magol, as you know, is a sickle. K'tir means that you're using it for harvesting. What is special about magol k'tir? So Rashi says, Roshel k'fufim o'oid. Normally you have the problem of the pegimois in a serrated knife. Here, however, they're all bent over. And since they're bent over, if you shecht them in one direction, none of them are going to stop or interfere with the shechita, because they're all nice and smoothed out, they're all circular. Yes, it might be a little bit bumpy, but we said already yesterday in the Gemara that even if it's olev v'yore, it's good as long as it's nice and sharp, and there's no way that any part of the basar, the or, or the two simanim would get stuck in the middle. If there is enough space that they might get stuck in the middle, then we have a problem. Because as you're going back and forth, you might be uprooting instead of slicing the siman.
Could you theoretically use a pizza slicer?
I don't know.
Meaning that certain, when they cut slices of pizza...
They'd be like the mukhni type thing, right?
Yeah, the...
Mukhni is talking put in, into a machine where it goes on itself.
Right. And water, it was water,
hydro. Well, no, it can't be water, but it has to be...
manual, right.
Yeah, you start the first time you opened it.
There is no magic to it. As long as it's very, very sharp and there are no niches in it, you can go and use it.
This is like the parking garage.
On a pizza place, where you slam it against the steel tray and it does it.
Go out the right. Parking garage. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
You know, there's things on the ground.
Right, those nails stick out.
Go the other way.
Oh.
Exactly. That's very good. Good market. All right, so Reb Shlomo tells us authoritatively from Eretz Yisrael that for a pizza cutter, you go and apply pressure.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to apply the pressure. But if it was nice and sharp, and you don't apply the pressure, they'll be okay. Shkoyach, Reb Shlomo. I'll show you who Magal Ktsir, Kederech Halichosa. If you use it in the way that it does not interfere with the Shechita, Nishami Pasul Misil Machshir. He said it's kosher. The emechliku shinel. If you went and, in fact, filed down all the shinai, so now it's not serrated in either direction. Harikazak, and then it's fine. There's no magic to it. It doesn't have to be born a chalif. As long as it's nice and sharp and smooth, you can use it. Amr b'chibarab amr b'yoychanan. Even though in our Mishnah, Beisul Machshir, it sounds like you can go in and eat from it. That's the word machshir, it's kosher.
Yeah.
Says Rabbi Yochanan, no. The hechshir that we're talking about is that it's not an avela, a bachila sur, you're not allowed to go and eat from it. Where does he take this from? After the Mishnah says machshir. Rav Ashi, I'll tell you, they can am diktoni beishamay poisam beisil machshirin, the lektoni beishamay oisrin o beisil matir. If we were talking about isra v'hefter, eating it and not eating it, the words poisal machshirin are a little bit unique, because normally you would say, oisin, you're not allowed to eat it. Basically, yes, you are allowed to eat it. You come and say, poisal machshirin, it sounds like we're not talking about midi d'achila, we're talking about hilchois tumma v'tah. But Frank Timara, according to you, that you're saying that the lotion of the Mishnah is not so precise, so let me ask you, listen, beishami metama beisil matir, if metaharit, if the kavona of beisil is talking not legabe hechsher achila, but legabe tarmit in avail, why taka doesn't say metaharin? If the Gemara says, "Ela poisle machshirin v'oisle matirin chodem milzi," there's really no major difference to gabi poisle machshirin v'oisle matirin. Because if you're talking about isser v'heter, here he's saying osir and mutter, and here he's saying posel and kosher, which is basically the same. And therefore, sorry, we do not follow Rabbi Yochanan based on this Gemara. But Rashi says, nevertheless, we still hold like him lahalocha. If you look at Rashi, "Ela poisle machshirin." That's parallel to our Gemara. Veloshim posel v'hechsher ashchita koi. We said posel and kosher. We're not referring to the meat. We're referring to the shochet who shechted. The beishamay psula shchitosoi unavelehi. Or beisil shchitosi ksheira af bachila. So therefore, the terms posel machshir work. V'leitating minosiyat the Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, don't bring a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. Umiu Rabbi Yochanan isa. But we do follow Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara gomer lo mi rabbi. Yochanan didn't say this on his own. He said b'shem Kabbalah, b'shem is Rabbi, even though the Gemara doesn't bring which Rabbi he said in the name of. But nevertheless, if Yochanan said something, he says, Rashi, we rely on it, and we're going to follow Rabbi Yochanan. So do not use the Magal Ktsir to go and eat kosher meat, but rather, it's not Nevela meat, it's Tar. On to the next Mishnah. Zok Mishnah, Shoichim mitrechat tabas, v'shayir bo m'loi hachut al p'nei kula, shchitosei ksheir. Okay, over here we have to go and do a little bit of anatomy, and we're also going to have to look shortly at the picture in the art scroll, and that is the kona of every single animal, kona being the windpipe, the trachea of an animal has around it a bunch of taboes. Taboes are rings. The first one is a tabas hagdoila. That's the highest ring on the pipe. And that is a full ring that goes around full circumference, 360 degrees, a rumanura. All the other taboes beneath it only go like a horseshoe, which means they only cover 80% of the kana, and the back of them is stuck together with a membrane or cartilage, but no, it does not go, the ring doesn't go all the way around. So that's the tabas hagdoila, that's the big guy all the way in the top. All the others beneath them are smaller in the sense that they do not go the full 360, they only go 250 or 300 degrees around, and they're like a horseshoe, like a big U, where there's still a little space left over in this tabas. So now, if a person shechs in the tabas hagdoila, that top tabas, and he does an excellent job in the sense that he does it straight down, his knife does not veer to the right or to the left, or to the left. B'shayir bo m'loy ha'chut al p'nei kula, and he left over in this tabas hagdoila a chut, which means like a round chut, like a thread, al p'nei kula, because he didn't go and cut through it to the side, he only cut down vertically, so he has now a m'loy chut. Rashi's m'loy chut means it's just a mashahu, but he kept the tabas gedoyle intact above the spot where he sliced the base hashchita. Al p'nei kula, the entire width of the entire circumference, shchitosik she, the shchita is kosher. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, m'loy chut al p'nei ruba. It doesn't really have to be m'loy chut entirely, as long as it's more than 51%. Because once he has shechted the 51% of the simanim, even though the sakin has now gone slightly in an upwards slanted position, and what happens now is now he has severed the chut of this tabas hagdoila, so it's no longer complete underneath, I really don't care. Because once I hit 51%, and you did a nice slicing of the simanim, it's kosher, v'yusher. And Rashi says, after that, it's like just cutting a piece of meat from this animal, because once it's geshachden, we're done. So that's the machloek between Tanakam and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Can you go beyond that tabas hagdoila after you've already shechted 51%?
We're talking about the kana, so we're talking about an oaf, which is one siman?
No, not all women, oaf, whatever. The veshit is a separate story. We're just talking about the tabois on the kana. Now, for those of you that like pictures, and assuming that Ariel is cooperative, and he always is cooperative, we have here a picture, and the picture shows this tabas hagdoila, and underneath it you have these smaller tabois. And between one tabas and the other tabas is a little bit of space, which is a little bit of skin, or cartilage, or membranes, or whatever you call that thing inside the... Right, so you'll see it starts off a room and a room, a tabas, and then underneath that, you have these smaller tabois. So, if you shecht in the upper one, the big guy, then you have nothing to worry about as long
so
as...
So it has to be the tabas gedola that's being incised, or...?
So far. So that's our mission so far. If you shecht it in the tabas gedola, and you did a perfect cut, straight down, according to everybody's shchitosik shein. However, if the knife veered a little bit, an upward slant, and therefore cut through the tabas hagdoila, then we got a problem.
Meaning cut the entirety of the tabas hagdoila?
Okay, the ring of it has to stay intact. So if you cut through so that the ring, that the a fraction of that large tabas hagdoila is not intact, you've gone outside the zone.
Good. So your question is very, very good. What Barry's pointing out to us, what's the issue over here? The issue is what we call hagrama. What's hagrama? We've already had a number of times in our Masechta that there are five different halachas that apply to shechita. First one being shehiya, then drisa, then chalada, hagrama, and ikur. So hagrama means that you shecht outside the zone where you can go and shecht on the tzavar of the animal. So higher up on the kana, you get to what's known as the tabas hagdoila. If you shecht in the tabas hagdoila, as long as you do a good, beautiful slice from top down to the bottom, So you left over both north of and south of where you shechted the tabaz. Tabaz is twice. Let's assume it's a half an inch wide, and you go and slice right down the middle. So then you have to the north, you still have the tabaz agdoyla intact, and to its south, you still have intact. That would be a perfect, perfect situation where everybody agrees the shechit is kshay. Problem only is, when the shoich is shechting, he doesn't really have x-ray vision, so he doesn't really see what's going on beneath the surface if he shechted. And after that, we open it up, and we see, oh, he shechted into basak toilet. That's gevaldik, that's tremendous. Yeah, but did the knife veer a little bit towards the north, so to speak? And so therefore, on the top, it still looks totally intact, but if you look at the side, you see he cut through that tabas on the side, and the sakin landed up beyond that tabas hagdoyla. Ooh, so is that an issue or not? Says the Tanakam, it is an issue. You have to make sure that you leave over malei chutah p'nei kula. None of it was severed, that you still have at least the thickness of a chutah sara, like a thread, or like a hair, a room in a room, which is still intact, then yechita is okay. However, what happens if you severed the bottom of that tabas as you're slicing? Oui, going to Tanakama, you'd have a problem. But Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, no, as long as you had already cut more than 51% of the simanim, even though now at the tail end of shechting, the sakin veered towards the north and went beyond the tabas agdoyla so that you severed the tabas agdoyla on the bottom, it doesn't bother me because it's already geshachted, it's already done. So we're already finished. So we're going to learn much more about this as we go into the Gemara, as you'll see momentarily. Rabbi Shmuel Diamar Tavai Halachka Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, we followed Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that as far as the Tabas HaGdol is concerned, as long as you did Ruba Kekula, we're done. That Rabbi Yosef Yehuda lo yamar, El Tabas HaGdol, only Tabas HaGdol. Hoylu Makefis is called a Kana because that goes around the entire Kana, 360 degrees. Abishar Tabois loy, but not by the other Tabois. Now, what does it mean, not by the other Tabois? Rashi says that Bishar Tabois, if you shecht one of those lesser Tabois, which are below that Tabas HaGdoyla, even if you went straight through and you did a great job, no good. No good. Why is it no good? Because you have to go and shecht in the Tabas HaGdoyla, which goes around the entire Kana. By going around the entire kana, it becomes like a shtick kana. So you have shechted the kana. However, those lesser tabois, which are below, since none of them go around the entire kana, when you have shechted them, even though you did a great job and you went straight through, those are not bottled to the kana because they don't go the entire circumference. And therefore, the only way that it would be kosher outside the tabas agdoyla, if you're going south, lower than the tabas agdoyla, is if you cut in between one tabas and the other tabas, because then you're really shechting the kana itself. But if you're cutting in the tabas itself, those are deficient and inferior tabois because they don't go a room and a room the entire kana.
So the shecha has to feel and the inside the throat to make sure he's going to target the right spot.
So it would appear.
Like a narrow zone.
Yeah, 100%. But Mitch Shem, we're going to see on the Amud Beis, other shitois which are much, much more kulidic, which I believe are lahalach. But anyway, this is the way Gemara is learning. Now, why do Rav and Shmuel focus on the difference between the tabas agdoyla and those other tabois? So Rashi explains, as we'll see in the Gemara on the Amud Beis, because I would think that according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, everything goes rubai kikulai. The Rubai Kekulai, just like we said, that as long as when he shechted Tabas HaGdoyla, he had already gone through the roiv of the Simonim, and Baruch Hashem, he did a great job. So even though the tail end of the Shechita veered to the north and went through the Tabas, that doesn't matter. We had a Rubai Kekulai. Also, I might think the same thing applies to each one of these lesser Tabois. They, by definition, are already created by Hashem as Rubai Kekulai, because they don't go around the entire circumference. They only go around 300 degrees out of 360 degrees. And so therefore, if I shech those, I also have the benefit of Rubai Kekulai. No, say Rav and Shmuel, here Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would agree with us that this Rubai Kekulai doesn't work. The Rubai Kekulai Tabas HaGdoyla does work. The Rubai Kekulai Tabas HaKtanos, those others, it does not work. So look at the last Rashi. I see everybody looking at me strange. Let's start from Rashi right after the Gemara. Five lines from the back. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda deruba kekula. Yeah, that's why it works by the Tabasco. Daf Rabbi Yehuda le Omar Kolaimer. Afgav the Rabbi Yehuda deruba kekula, like we just said, but le Omar shetayshin kosik sheder betoichat Tabas. That's only by the Tabasco Doyle, but not by the smaller Tabas, because that's by Tabasco Doyle shemakeves of kolakone hilka chashiva kone. The Tabas HaGdoyle itself gets the name Kana because it goes the whole circumference. So it's like bottle to the Kana. Avashar Tabois, Ein Shchitosik Sheira B'Toychon Klal. So what are you going to do? Make sure you get the Tabas HaGdoyle or Elevain Tabas L'Tabas. What's the reason why? To keep in Shein Makif and it's Kala Kana, Kira Parishas, like we explained. That it's not Makif the entire thing. Shutuas HaBasim, Mechabrosim. What holds those Tabas in place? Why don't those tabois all fall down if they don't go around the whole thing? It's only like a horseshoe. The reason is because his Ritzua's boss, the Chabrosan, holds it together from the back. Lav Konanin, that's not a Kona. The Av, Gav, the Makif, and Ruba, even though they go around 80%, 90%, but it doesn't go around the whole thing, so it's not called Kona. The Chi Islay, the Rabbi Yossi, Ruba, Kekulai. When does Rabbi Yossi hold it in the Ruba, Kekulai? And Emilu Makim, Shechita, Veshochet, Ruba, like in our Mishnah, he shechted a tabas gdoila, which is considered to be kana because it goes around the whole circumference. To create a mokim kosher l'shchita, no, lo yamrin ruv kula. Then I wouldn't say ruv kula. Tabas leikri kana. Tabas is not called a kana. It doesn't go around the entire kana. Shemamina krum shebetoichat tabas hamachasa oisim b'mufnim mikri kana. The only thing which is called the kana is that tabas agdoila, or if you have the space between one tabas and the other, that's a kana. However, these tabois katanois, they don't rank and therefore no good according to Rav and Shmuel. So Rav and Shmuel are interpreting Rav Yosef of Yehuda that he distinguishes between the two rubois kikulois. A ruba kekula in the tabas agdoila, since that is kana, because it goes around the entire circumference, but that's fine. However, to go and create a kana by going and shechting in those lesser tabois, since they're not kana, because it's only covering 80% and not 100%, so you can go and shecht as much as you want, so the guna shelfin, it will not be kosher, even a contribution be. So therefore, if you take Rubik and Kula, it works. Abashar to boys, well, the rest, loy. Ubashar boys, fainty more, Bashar to boys, loy. Is that what you're saying? Vatanya. The same Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Oimer. Hashoichet Bashar to boys. Oh, that's our case, the other to boys. Al Bish Aimakif and Eskol, Aimakifois, Eskolakon, even though they don't surround the whole Wow, mamish the opposite of what Rav and Shmuel just said according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. We're going to come back to that in a moment. The Gemara is not finished with the Braisa yet, but you see clearly the kasha that we're asking. Now the Braisa continues. Umagremes. Magremes means again that you shechted outside the zone. That's psula. Now who is this go according to? Rashi says this is not a continuation of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. This is according to the Rabbanan. But if you go and shecht roi betoicha tabas miut outside the tabas hagedoyla, it's no good. What? That was the Tanakh Kama. The Tanakh Kama of our Mishnah said that as long as shayir b'mloi chudah panei kula shkitosik sheira. However, if he did roi, that's not good. It's got to be kula within the zone of that tabas hagedoyla. So that's what Megremis is psula. Hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas, I'm a grammar shehi ksheira. No, he disagrees. He holds like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. That's kosh. Anyway, that's the end of the braisa. But we have our kash and Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda himself says that just like you have Rubik Kikulai by the Tabas HaDoyla, you have Rubik Kikulai by these kind of Tabas also. Rav Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says, remember it's Rav Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Tarti Komar. He really holds Rubik Kikulai works in both cases. Both in the Tabas HaGdoyle case of our Mishnah, as well as in the smaller Tabois, because they themselves are Ruba Kikula, in the sense that they are Roiv of the Kana. Okay, it's not 100%. Okay, must. But nevertheless, as long as it's Roiv, it goes around 80%, so that's good enough. Tajikam. What did we say about Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel, Savri Kavosi Bechoda, Upligale Bechoda. They agree with Rabbi Yosef Yehuda in our Mishnah that that Rubai Kekule within the Tabas Agdoila works, but they disagree with Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Lagabe Lahaloch Lamaisa by the smaller Tabas. They say that doesn't work, even though it's Rubai Kekule. Why? Because you're now wanting to create a zone of Kona by saying, those Tabas, they go around 80%, that's enough. My good friend, if it doesn't go around the entire width and length and circumference of the Kona, it's not Kona. It's just like the Kona is wearing a raincoat on the outside. It's not the Kona. So therefore, you're not Yoitza if you shecht over there. So they argue with Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Frey Timara, all of that is beautiful, Rav Yosef. V'holei Omar Amri. Back on the Omer Aleph, he said Rabbi Yosef Yehuda loy Omar. That was the expression. So they didn't say that we disagree la halacha with Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. They're saying that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds like us, and we hold like him, that the din of Rubik Kikuli only works with Tavas Agdoida, not with the Shar Tabois. So how do you say that, Rabbi Yosef? Everything more we're going to slightly amend Pshat and Rabbi Shmuel. Hachi Kamri. Halacha kimo yisim Tavas Agdoida. So there's no stira of Yosef Reb Yehuda. Reb Yosef Yehuda taka holds both by Tabas and Doyla. And by Shar Tabois, Rubai Ke Kuloi. However, Rav and Shmuel say we only agree with him, we only paskin like him in our Mishnah, but not like the Shar Tabois. So now the Gemara tells us a story. Kisolik Reb Zeir, originally lived in Babel, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. When he got to Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, they were not machmir like Rav and Shmuel, and they held like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Bishar, Tabois. However, Rabbi Zeir is now leaving Chutz Laretz, he's coming to Eretz Yisrael, and Ocha Megremes to Rav and Shmuel. He ate the case of Rav and Shmuel, the Megremes, meaning that it was Gishochten, Bishar, Tabois, where Rav and Shmuel said that it's osir, that it's straight, and he ate it. Amri Leis, so all of the people there in the dining room seeing Rabbi Zeir eating from it, they said, Lav me asid Rav and Shmuel. After all, you were Oyle from Bavel, and Rav and Shmuel were the Doyle Hador in Bavel, and you're eating. How can you do this? Chas v'sholem. Omelahu, so Rav Zeir said to them, Man Omra, who's the one that gave this explanation before, according to Rav and Shmuel? That was Rav Yosef. He says, Yosef Bar Chia. Rashi says, from now on, Barry, put this into your recesses of your brain. Yosef anytime Bar-Khiya, you see Rav Yosef, it's Yosef Bar Chia. So that's the official name of Rav Yosef, Yosef Bar Chia. Yosef Bar Chia mikuli alma gomer. So what does that mean? He's saying that it's not the Yosef Bar Chia. Rav Yosef heard this directly from Rav and Shmuel, but rather Rav Yosef would listen to everyone that would say a dvar halacha, and he would put that all in his brain. Yosef, as we know, unfortunately, was a Sagi Nohar. He couldn't write it down anyway, even if he wanted to, because he wouldn't be able to read it subsequently. He could write it, but he wouldn't be able to read it. So therefore, he puts it all in his memory bank. But from time to time, he said halachas, which really were not Rav and Shmuel, was really somebody else. And so therefore, I don't believe that this halacha that Yosef is saying, the name of Rav and Shmuel, that they disagree with. I'm sorry?
It's not reliable.
I don't agree that it's reliable. It could be with somebody else. And or Rav Yosef, he made a mistake. He didn't, it wasn't Rav and Shmuel, it was somebody else, whatever. And therefore, I'm not relying on that. Eventually, word got back to Yosef Bar Chia, meaning to Rav Yosef himself, Shomer Rav Yosef Ikbet, and he was upset about what he just heard, B'Shem Rav Zeira. Omar, and he said, Ano mikuli alma gamirna. It's taka true. It's Loshen Bitnia. Ano mikuli alma gamirna. You think I go like a peddler to everybody to go and ask him for Dvar Torah? Ano me Rav Yehuda gamirna. All of my Torah I got from Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda
was a student of Rav and Shmuel.
He was a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel, correct. But Rav Yehuda was very, very makbid, and I follow his kepeda. That Philus Veke de Gavri Goris. When Rav Yehuda would hear a Dvar Halacha from someone, and he wasn't sure who that person heard it from, he would throw in and quote and say that that person didn't know exactly. It says the Omer Rav Yehuda. Omer Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yehuda says, I heard from Rav Yirmiyah by Abba. And Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, when he repeated this halacha to me, he said it, Safik Mishmei de Rav, Safik Mishmei de Shmuel. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba couldn't recall whether he heard this halacha originally from Rav or heard it from Shmuel. What halacha are we talking about? Shloisha Matina said, Bechor b'makim she'en mumcha. As you know, when it comes to mumen of a Bechor, you have to have a mumcha to be able to tell you whether this is a real mum or not. The Kehanim had every incentive to be able to go disqualify all Bechorim from bringing as a carbon post the Chorim Beis HaMikdash, because if it was a tam without flaw, then it's just a wasting asset. You cannot go and bring it as a carbon, and you cannot check that it's chulin. So they had financial incentive to create, so to speak, a mum, or even if you were totally erlich and you wouldn't do that, but every single time you saw this slightest little blemish, this slightest little cut, you'd immediately bring it to the mumcha. Tell me, is this now a mum? If so, I'd be able to go and shecht it and use it and gebald it. What happens if there's no mumcha in town? So now, Rav Yirma bar Abba said in the name of someone, either Rav or Shmuel, he was not sure, that if you have a bezin of three, they can also be matter as a bechor, even if you don't have a mumcha. So therefore, says Rav Yosef, you see how particular I am, how careful I am, when I'm reporting a Dvar Halacha in the name of Rav Yehuda, who is my Rebbe that I learned everything from, he would say, such as Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, he's not sure Rav, not so Shmuel, so to go and say that I'm not authoritative, Rav Yosef was offended. Fine. We're continuing on, but I have to understand Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira, Leslei Noisen Olaf Chumri Amokim Shiyotim Misham V'Chumri Amokim Shalach Lisham. Don't we have a rule that when a person leaves one community and comes to another community, he can't automatically go and change stripes and change halacha? He's supposed to continue with all the chumras that he had previously, and he's supposed to take upon himself the new chumras of the place that he is going to. And that being the case, since back in Bavel, people were machmer, like Rav and Shmuel, that if it was bishochten in one of those smaller taboys, we did not rely on Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, we said that it's possible. Sorry, Bazoi, how is he eating in it? It's takatru, everybody else at the table was eating. But that's why they asked him, didn't you come from the mokim of Rav and Shmuel from Bavel? And people were machmer. Om Rabbaya, hani milim Bavel, the Bavel, the Yisrael, the Yisrael. That's talking about in Bavel itself, from one town to another. You're going from Chvay Surah to Nerdor to Pompadisa, in Bavel itself. Or you're going in Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. You're going from Yishalayim to Bnei Brak, Bnei Brak to Yishalayim. In Ami Eretz Yisrael above, or you're going from Eretz Yisrael and you're being a, what they call today, a Yored, that you're leaving Eretz Yisrael, you're going to Bavel. Ami Bavel Eretz Yisrael, Kimen Danan Kanfinan Lehu, Avdinan Kavosai. Since in Eretz Yisrael they're considered to be the greater Baalei Torah and Baalei Mesoyer and Halacha, we can be Mavatel Ardas, we Babylonians, when we go to Eretz Yisrael. Now where do we find that we're Nan Kanfinan Lehu? Not in Hilchis Kashrus, says Rashi, but rather when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShanah. Where is this, Rashi? Rashi, it's about 7-8 lines from the bottom of the Amud. The Kibin Anan Kaifin, you see Rashi in the middle of the line, Kibin Anan Kaifin, a little bit as well. The Kiddush HaChodesh, Ubur HaShanah, Kinomin Mishmaita Basra Dehoiriois, Udina Kenosoi, Sheitz Micha Babavel. When we go to them, he's eating in Eretz Yisrael. It says Kisolik Rav Zeira went to Eretz Yisrael. So since Eretz Yisrael is considered to be preeminent in Torah, and therefore if they are Mekel, I can follow them, and I'm not stuck with my old chumris of the Mokim Shiyotz Misham. That was Teretz number one. Vashem have even a better terrors. If you take me back to Israel, also stay with your chumis. Hanimilech the data lasa. You're just visiting Eretz Yisrael. Well, you're going to stay there for a month or two. But you're going back to Chutz Laaretz. Then you have to stay with your chumis. However, Reb Zeira ain't data lasa have. He's staying there permanently. Once he's staying there permanently, he can now follow the minhagim of Eretz Yisrael. He no longer is bound to the chumis of Chutz Laaretz. So to my right, Omalei Abayi, Rav Yosef. Or Rabbanon Yosef Mechoyze Amri. I talked to Rav Yosef, who made that distinction with Rav and Shmuel. Yes, Rav Yosef Yehuda, Nish Rav Yosef Yehuda. But the Rabbanon that come from Mechoyze, which is also in Babel, Amri, they said, Omer Rav Zeira Mishmei, the Rav Nachman, Megremes Ksheira. Megremes means the case that we're talking about of Rav and Shmuel and of Rav Zeira, where they shechted it in those tabois ketanois. They said it's kosher, not like Rav and Shmuel. Oy, oy, oy. Amalei, Rav Yosef said, Nara Naru Bashte. Now, Naru Bashte is a term that's used often in Chazal, and after that in rabbinic literature, and even halacha, Mishnah Berurah uses this expression. Nara Nara Pashta means that each community had its own minhagim. Literally, Nara Nara Pashta means, and Nara means a river, and each river goes in its own direction. One goes north to south, and the other goes east to west, and one goes in this direction, one here and there, and everywhere. Every Nara is different. The Naras, many Naras eventually merge, but until they merge, each one has its own path, and they go in their own direction, etc., etc. They hear the same thing. Each mokum had its own minig, and therefore you can't ask a minig of Surah Nerdo and Surah, everybody did their own thing.
So, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it has to be a cost between the Rome and the
To be kosher, according to the Tanakam of our Mishnah, either you have to go and cut it in the Tabasa Gdoyla and make sure,
or between the Tanas.
Or if you're not Tabasa Gdoyla, you have to do in between each one of the Tabois Katana. Okay, so then Dari says that he thinks that the Shochtim had, those who were experienced were able to feel it with their finger from the outside. They put their finger on the throat, on the Mokum Shechita, and they stretch the Mokum Shechita a little bit so you'd be able to go and feel what's going on underneath. You'd be able to feel the Kana and feel where the Tabasa Gdol is, where those small Tabois are, and you'd be able to go and check. That's one pshat. Another pshat would be that then anybody that's following the pshat of Rav Shmuel would make sure to go and shecht north of all those Tabois Ketanois. They knew where it was in the Tzavra. They've been doing this for years. They would always make sure to go and shecht and Tabas and Gdolila to make sure they don't have a problem. If ultimately they missed the Tabas and Gdolila and they shechted below it, so after the Shechita was over, then we would have to go and inspect the Kon and see where he shechted. If it went into Tabas itself, oy vavoy, we got problems going to Rav Shmuel. But if it's in between, then it's kosher.
What, in between or
between each Tabas?
That's always kosher?
That's always kosher. That's what Rashi said, because that's the Kon itself. You have to shecht the Kon. So if you're shechting the Kon itself, no problem. If you shecht the Tabas Agdola, since it goes the entire circumference, that's called Kon. Those smaller taboy, since they only go around 80%, they're not 100%, they're not called Kon, and therefore you're not yours. That's according to Rav Shmuel. But as we're going to see in the Gemara now, the Gemara is going to bring new shitois, which we have not come across yet, which are above the Tabas HaGdoyla. We'll see that momentarily. Talk to Gemara about Rav Shimon and Lokish. Achsher bechuda de koiva. He was machsher at the spitz of the hat. What means the spitz of the hat? Going back again, for those that have the picture in the art scroll, above the Tabas HaGdoyla, then the rest of the Kana starts. It looks like it slopes upward, and it looks like a hat, and Rashi even calls it helm, which is apparently
a
short
helm
for the word helmet, exactly. That a helmet above the Tabas HaGdoyla, and that's also kosher according to Reish Lakish. But Reish Lakish went even very, very high, not only the hat above the Tabas HaGdoyla, but to the spitz, the top of the hat. Think of, in America, they have something known as a dunce cap, right, where you have the hat going all the way to a spitz on top, like a teepee, like a cone. Oh, like a cone. Not a koihen, but a cone.
Right.
C-O-N-E. So if, according to Reish Lakish, as long as you go all the way, even all the way, that's still kosher, even though that's a few inches above the Tabas HaGdoyla. Rabbi Yochanan was not impressed with what Reish Lakish said. He said, Gisa, Gisa. Rashi says three lines on the bottom, Hagas, Hagas. You know, you've gone too far. That's terrible. Going all the way to the spitz, to the top of that dunce cap, top of the cone, certainly not. It's got to be lower than that. So that's how Rashi learns Gisa, Gisa, Hagas, Hagas. However, interestingly, I brought along a Ritva. The Ritva says Hagas, Hagas, or not Gisa, Gisa, the word in Hebrew, what's the brother-in-law called in Hebrew? Hagis. Right? Gisoi. Gisoi is really sister-in-law. But a brother-in-law is called a Gis. Gisoi. Ah, since Rabbi Yochanan is a shvugger of Reish Lakish, he's playing a bit of a pun over here. And he's saying, Gisa, my brother-in-law, Hagis, you've gone already a little bit beyond the halacha by saying you go all the way to Shmitz, all the way to the top of that Kohen, the Shemesh. Gisa, here, the Torah, Pirish, Kirishlokish Balachoisish of Yoichanan, he was a shvugger, like it says, Mesech Sabah Matiah, the Kachamer Gisi, my shvugger, Zemoid, Higis, you've already gone beyond, now this is Tzivat. The hell of Mokim Shchita Lamala, you really put it too high. No good. So therefore, you have a machloikus with the two geese.
Want to see
a
living color?
But they're both geese.
I saw that. I find this a little bit harder to follow in terms of explaining it and showing it. But if anybody wants to look, you have full color
the actual,
in it.
And the actual thing looks like.
And it looks really geschmack. It's really beautiful.
Put it in a trunk.
Yeah. It's hard to discern over here. You see the arrows, they tell you which is Basik Dele, which is Basik Tana. But the this, although of course this is a not a real picture of a real thing, but I think this is easier to follow than that.
Is this yours?
No.
No, it belongs to the shul.
We're going to need it a lot soon.
Okay. I think maybe Rav David bought it when he bought the Gemaras years ago, Rav David the diamond. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. The Halmandu. Yeah, so therefore he said, Chuda de Koy is a curry leg, Gisa Gisa. Omra Papi. Now we have Rav Papi here. Mishmei Derava. Poga bechite treifa. I'm sorry, poga bechiti is treifa. Now what are chiti? Chiti, because they look like wheat kernels. Where are these chiti? So Rashi says, they're menochim al hakona eitzel hakoiva. Ah, so it appears from Rashi that these could be in between the tabas hagdoila and the beginning of the koiva, this helmet which is on top of it. If you're wondering, where do I see that? It's called helmet. If you go Rashi two lines earlier,
it's a helm.
Shekoidim helm, exactly. Helm. So they say that means like a helmet.
Not helm.
Yeah, good. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So Rapapi said in the name of Rava, Hoga b'chiti, if you're pegea, pegea means like you meet and touch the chiti, those are the part immediately above the kona, next to the koiva, next to the hat, the helmet. Then that's treif, no good. Now the question is, this is an interesting expression, hoga. See, boilu, hoga v'noga behen, techsev v'yifka boi v'yomois, v'yiduma poga v'loi noga, ki techsev v'yifka v'malachi elikim. Where did the sakin land up? Did it land up inside those chiti, which is what Rapapi said, it's treifa, or was it right below the chiti, right above the kona, as before you got to the koiva, but it didn't touch the koiva at all. It was only neger, maybe touched, but he didn't cut it. That's the Gemara's question, how far up did he go? And the Gemara leaves it without a response. Itmar omra papa mishmei derava, not to be confused with rapapi, is rapapa mishmei derava, shir bechiti is ksheira. If you left over bechiti, and what means that you left over bechiti? Says Rashi, that you went through those chiti, which we just spoke about, those are between the kona and the kova. If you went into them and you left some to the right and some to the left, that is kosher. So therefore he learns that when we said before, hoga, it's poga v'noga, but unlike what we said that Rapapi said, mishmei derava, that it's treif, he said poga v'noga, it's still kosher. In other words, just don't go above the chiti. If you're within the chiti, that's okay, but don't go above it. Omer Rav Meimer bar Mari Nuka, have a kudna come to Rabchi bar Bereider of Avia, the Omeli, Shire Bachitis Ksheir. Like we just said, if you cut through those chiti, that's still good. Omer Ravino Ravashi, Omeli Rav Shemin Misuvra, Ikla Marzutra, the Asrei Vidora, Shire Bachiti is still kosher. Mar Ravashi Omer, Poga Bachiti Ksheira, Shire Bachiti Trefer. Poga means that if you shaft it, and you just touched the chiti, but you didn't go above into the chiti, and it's still kosher. Once you went into the chiti, and now shy, you left some to the right, and some to the left, some to the north, some to the south, that's treif. The hilchas are what's halacha? Mishipekoivo lamata ksheira. As long as shipekoiva is still kosher, right? The shayir b'chiti. Shipekoiva means that we have the koiva, this helmet, and this helmet slants upward at an angle till it gets to the chuda, till it gets to the shvit, which was what Reish Lakish, remember, said before. Even if it gets all the way to the chuda, the koiva is still kosher. And that's when Reb Yochanan got upset at him and said, my tire is shvugger. He can't go that far. He can only go to the lower part of the koiva. So the shipui means that the koiva is beginning to slant. The shipui koiva lamata, from the slanting of the koiva downwards, that's still kosher. Behind the shayr b'chiti means he taka shechted into the chiti. That's okay. That's not a problem. Here's where we're going to stop. Well, Masa, all of this, the shipui koiva and these chiti, these are all above the tabas hagdol. So even though we had a machlokes in our Mishnah between the Tanya Kama and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that if you slanted slightly towards above the tabas hagdolah, is it good or not? Ruba kekula or not? But Agamor Masa doesn't follow that. It says even if you went beyond, up and above, beyond the tabas hagdolah, you went into the koiva.
This would be Megmeris to Rabbi Shmuel. This would be Trey for Koyt Rabbi Shmuel.
Yes, this would be an apostle according to Rabbi Shmuel. This would be totally Megmeris. But our Gemara holds differently, that even if you went above the tabas hagdolah, you went to the shipui koiva, you're okay. Just as long as you don't go all the way to the chuda, to the top of that koiva. So now getting back to Robert's question of about 10 minutes ago, since shipui koiva is kosher, then the shochtim don't have to be noivis about shechting in the tabas down below, in between the tabas, on the tabas.
They play it safe, they go toward the top. They
presumably, again, I'm not a shoychet, but presumably they all go for the higher end. So even if they go into the basak doy, there's no problem. Even above that, just as long as they don't go above the shipui koiva, it'll be kusha b'yusher. And I assume that every time after the shechita, they say, great job, not magremis, it didn't go to the chuda, it just went to shipui koiva, it's kusha. We'll stop over here. Rabbi Yisrael, have a wonderful day, as I mentioned.
I assume when they're shopping, they're
a picture of the articles.
Yes, sir. The chiti are within the koiva.
They're above it. According to the pictures, they're above
inside
it.
The
I'm sorry? The koiva is the helmet. Inside the helmet, right. It's to hold the helmet in place.
Below where the parallel above are the chiti, are the grains,
right,
are the kernels.
Anyway, hopefully after we go through the whole sugya, it'll become well ingrained in
yes,
all of us, so we'll understand it perfectly.
It's called chiti because it's from chitim, right?
Chitim.
They look like
wheat. Have a good day, everybody. Hatzlocha zayi ben zakizim.
I assume the shachit from the bottom.